How long is this going to go to?
This one's going to go for 30 minutes.
Okay.
I mean, once we actually start the program.
Sure.
We haven't started the program yet,
right.
Jamie.
Right, I understand.
We're gonna start it. Well, let's start it right now.
Right this second?
Right this second.
Right about now.
Hi, this is John Melke. Welcome to Parkside Today. It is a pleasure to be joined by my friend Jamie Freeman.
I heard that guy carries some reputation.
I would say so.
Mostly, yeah. For the good.
Mostly. You know, little good, little bad.
That's,
you know,
all. We're only going to focus on the good now.
We'll focus on the good.
Since it's been 2 decades.
Right. So for those of you who don't know, and I know that of our millions of listeners worldwide, that there's probably only a few of you who don't know, but Jamie Freeman is a 2003 graduate of UW-Parkside who has the distinction of, as a graduate, walking across the commencement stage 2 times. Not once, but twice.
Had to do it twice for good measure.
So, and we'll get it. We can talk a little bit about that story a bit. But I'm going to go back to give our listeners an idea of the first time that I encountered you.
Oh,
and you probably don't remember this because I don't think that we didn't know each other at the time.
Yeah,
but
it's when we first met, man.
Here's the way I recall it: is that I started at Parkside in early January 2001. So one of the first things I attended as a like Parkside evening event was the
basketball game.
No.
Okay.
First thing I attended, I may have been to a basketball game, attended the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebration.
Oh yes, I was a part of that.
You were a part of that, which back in 2001 and some subsequent years until the academic calendar here was changed,
sure,
was held on the Friday evening after the official Martin Luther King Jr. holiday.
Correct.
So, Jamie, and I know you recall this.
I do.
You were one of the MCs.
Yes, I was.
That evening.
I was honored. I was honored.
And you did a great job, and I thought I had to ask who that person was. And then because I saw you and your counterpart had to stand at the podium like through the entire program. I said, you know, shouldn't they be able to sit down a little bit? Do they have to stand there the whole time? And that's how I got involved with the Martin Luther King Jr. celebration because I
that was that was the minimum sacrifice that I could do as a student in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. is to stand at that podium the entire time.
The entire time.
Didn't worry about my feet hurting.
Okay,
you know, that was good.
But serious question.
Yeah,
that's my first encounter with you. First get to know you that way, and I always saw you as somebody who, as I said to the chancellor this afternoon, you were, I'll say, not only comfortable, but welcomed or respected in different communities on campus.
Correct. Yeah.
Be that OMSA, be that
PIC, BSU, everybody.
How did you do that?
Whew, man, with a lot of work and effort. You know, I think people want originality. They want people to be, you know, not fake, very authentic, transparent, big heart, good relationships that got connected and involved with. It's almost like the parody of a Van Wilder, just a Parkside style, where he was, in fact, connected to all the campuses and even the faculty, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But, I was just that guy, you know, just wanted to be myself and just wanted to really become connected to a lot of different people on a lot of different levels, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, it was great.
So how much of that... I may know the answer here, but I'll ask the question anyway. How much of that is being willing to listen to different people?
A lot. And for a guy that does more talking than listening, it really helped me develop that a little bit more. Because, you know, everybody kind of has their own perceptions and perspectives and what they find important or what they're experiencing in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And, to really get a lot of diversity involved and then to make an event, an end-of-the-year event, which coordinated with so many social, academic, cultural organizations, where it not necessarily was just like, you know, hey, a $60,000 graduation party for me, but for the whole campus, even for people that weren't graduating yet. You know, the main event, or the end, as they wanted to call it, too, did just that. And it was a great time.
Yeah.
It was a great time.
What, when you think back to your days here as a student, what are some of the things that come to mind most quickly or things you think about?
Well, sometimes it's hard not to focus on the trouble parts of it. But when I got recognized by the administration as the most distinguished student leader of 2000, that really gave me some confirmation. Not that I need that approval or you know, have to have it, but when the administration was recognizing me, when students were congratulating me, voting for me in student government, I was even voted into BSU as a programming director for just a semester, and it wasn't to, you know, I guess for me, it just allowed me to help out in a area where they didn't have anybody, and you know, I offered my help there as well. I don't know. I think really just the whole interchange of who everybody was and getting to know people more.
Yeah. Did you see yourself in that role, the leadership role, prior to coming to Parkside as a student who's going to make that university selection?
Well, that's what I loved about Parkside the most. Okay, you weren't just a number. You had the ability to make something out of nothing from a kid that was pretty much a class clown. And during the first year or two of still being a class clown and just a party guy, I think it was when I was found out. Yeah, when I found out that I was going to be a father, and after serving a year of academic suspension because of those grades, it really made me reconsider some things. And it was like what I got outside of the classroom was almost just as, if not more valuable than what I was learning. And to step into that role of leadership, because I really hadn't done that ever, to gain that confidence, to be myself, to kind of do a little soul searching, a little truth finding, and to see how I was adding value to that and how I was inspiring other students and other student leaders, my peers, it was great, man. It's like the glory years. I would never trade that for anything. And just wish that, you know, the campus continued that, and that there are types of Jamie Freemans enrolled today. And I believe there are, you know, and it's not, they're not mini me's. They're their own people. But just to see that, because here you are with an opportunity of a very diverse campus, but you don't want to see it segregated like the city of Milwaukee is. Extremely diverse. But I could point to you on the map of Milwaukee. These are where these people are. These are where these people are. These are where these people are. Whereas at, in college, in this university, it's really an opportunity to be together. Doesn't mean everybody has to agree with other people. It doesn't mean that you know, people can't understand, even if they don't agree. There's conversation that I think needs to happen.
Sure. Without the conversation, without the sharing of different viewpoints, you probably don't get that. You don't understand where someone else is coming from. You don't see their perspective because you don't hear their perspective.
Correct. And it's so easy, John, to align yourself with people that think the same way, agree the same way, disagree the same way. And there's a lot of predisposed conditioning that some people don't get out of that boundary. But this is what college is all about, is to get a little uncomfortable, to go into some of these boundaries, do things you wouldn't normally do. And if anything, just create some sort of understanding. It doesn't mean that you have to think the same way or have the same feelings or agree or disagree, but there needs to be some understanding to that.
Yeah,
for sure.
We just had three students in, Crystal and Zach and Tabitha, who are involved, who are student leaders on campus, who were, all three attended a winterim study abroad to Cuba this past January.
Yeah.
We talked to them about that. But in each case, they did not see themselves.
Right.
If I'm remembering the interview correctly, help me, Derek. Is that correct? Yes. Derek's nodding his head. Our producer,
He's nodding his head.
That each of the three said they didn't see themselves in that role when they were in high school, and that they were actually maybe a little bit quieter. And when they got to Parkside, it gave them the opportunity to get involved, to be a leader. And what you just said before, that what you get from the educational experience outside of the classroom is as or more important sometimes.
Absolutely.
Than what you use what you get in the classroom.
Correct.
To make that out of the classroom experience even more valuable.
And it's very applicable to life after college years, with people in the workplace, neighbors, whoever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's super valuable.
Yeah. So tell us, you're back on campus. You were back on campus for the second time in a week, correct?
Let me see. Well, I was there Friday. I was there yesterday. I'm here today, and I'm there tomorrow. So we're going to do four in a week, commuting all the way from Milwaukee because it's that important.
So what are you doing here on campus?
So the way this kind of all started was through Facebook. There was a friend that tagged me in something from a student of this campus. Whether how valid or, you know, some of this, I don't have the full story. But it definitely showed some racial undertones, some intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit me in a way where, you know, there's some things where in life you just say, oh, I acknowledge that. And you just move about your business.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to think a little bit harder, especially the things that I find personal, where I can add value to something. And it would just be like if I didn't like homelessness. So maybe I would volunteer some time at a shelter. Maybe I would go on my own and create a drive for food or clothes or, you know, things like that instead mm-hmm. of just saying, okay, I'm just going to drive past or walk past another homeless person.
Right.
And this was kind of felt like a calling. It said, look, there's no easy fix to those topics. Intolerance, exclusivity as opposed to inclusive. And I wanted to from an alumni point of view,
mm-hmm.
from a white male point of view,
mm-hmm.
Interject where I could and help. A lot of the students here see the same faces all the time,
mm-hmm.
whether that's faculty, the students, but the alumni, not so much. And it's not to say that they're not active or don't do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, when it came to this, and then to understand that there was going to be a speaker coming on the 10th, tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
to address some of this stuff,
right.
It made me feel like, you know what, Jamie, you got a couple hours of your day, and you're being kind of overwhelmed with so many things. What better of a way to not only contribute from an alumni perspective, but from my experience, because I feel the racial conflict I'm not really searching for the right word. It was different. That's what I'm going to tell you. There might have been some of it, but it was a lot different. And I talked to a lot of other alumni about this, and they said, it's probably worse now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether that's from the climate of our country, other leaders and what they're doing or saying that's making people go beyond thinking about it into being very expressive about it,
mm-hmm.
And I guess we all have freedom of speech, but I really feel that Parkside, as well as the city of Milwaukee or Racine, Kenosha, we're better than that. We're mm-hmm. better than not trying to have a conversation or to have conscious, critical thinking of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel it's really super important. So I've been up there on the bridge playing music really loud, passing around buttons, getting people to dance, you know, and it's not the first or the last time that this university is going to hear or see me, you know, because I feel so connected with this university. I can't even describe, like, I don't even have that same relationship with my direct family, but I felt that this university was my family.
Mm.
You were like the cool uncle.
I appreciate the uncle reference as opposed to like great grandfather.
Yeah, you're definitely not that. Okay. No, you're definitely a cool uncle right
now. One thing I want to interject real quickly, and that is for our seven listeners, that you mentioned that the speaker, Dr. Becky Martinez, was going to be here tomorrow. Now, this program is going to air after Dr. Martinez is here on campus. So just in case someone hears that and goes, oh, I wonder what's going on tomorrow. But Dr. Becky Martinez is here. It's the Be Woke. And you and I were talking about the Be Woke posters that are up around campus, building bridges towards inclusiveness. And, you know, I said, every time I see the Be Woke, I get it. I know what the concept is. And it certainly makes me think about the concept of Be Woke when I see the poster.
Right, because being woke is to be conscious about social injustice, intolerance through culture, racism. I'm looking so forward to that. And for the people that are finally listening to it now, just understand, if you missed this great opportunity, it doesn't just end with Dr. Becky Martinez. As a university, as alumni especially, I'm pulling together some alumni to be more transparent. This is not just a day where we think about something.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a way of life, especially in student life, where if that wasn't continuing or growing, we'd really be cheating ourselves out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I want to also talk a little bit about, because you and I had a conversation with, I thought this was pretty interesting, about what you're doing now and some ideas you've got for things moving forward in your outside of Parkside life. So tell us what you're doing now.
So now, my voice is going on me. So now I'm actually hosting trivia shows, super entertaining. I volunteer some stuff. I've been really, really working on my physical, mental, and spiritual health. And luckily I'm afforded to almost make that a part-time job right now on top of my other work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that proper type of self-care that can really, you know, I think some people just get complacent and they just go, I feel comfortable. I don't want to challenge myself. I want to do more. But I'm a guy that's pretty driven, and I've neglected, to my own admittance, and procrastinated something similar I would do from time to time here on campus. But I just really wanted to get out of my comfort zone a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the things that desire my attention, and those are things that matter and things that I can control.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anything else outside of that, I don't have time for it. I don't have time for negative energy, people that are subtractors in your life. They take away.
Mm-hmm.
People that divide your life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more about being people that add to my life, and especially people that multiply to my life.
Yeah.
And it's good to define those categories and to invest your time. I mean, from the moment we're born, we're dying.
Mm-hmm.
That's inevitable. So now it's about, if time was money, if every second was a $100 bill,
right,
would you just spend it all and be broke and maybe have to go check to check, week to week?
Yeah.
Or are you going to invest your time into something better, like an IRA or, you know, whatever, something that's at least going to give you more value because you're paying attention to it.
Right, right.
So yeah,
when you're doing the the trivia gigs.
Yes.
What do you get? I mean, you're interacting with a lot of people, right?
True. Yeah. And what's really amazing, and this is where maybe I see it in myself, but I start to acknowledge it when complete strangers come up to me and they go, "You should be in radio. You should be doing this. You could be a stand-up comic." And I'm thinking, you know what? Those are all things actually I kind of desire and have purpose to be. Now, my voice today is really raspy. I should have brought some water with me, but it's all good. But at the same time, you know, when I'm hearing other people that don't know each other, don't really know me that much, and they're just like, "You need to be in radio." Well, that's where me and you came in, too. I did a voiceover spot.
Yeah.
On the first take.
Right.
Those guys were like, "I want you to do it all again and be 0.7 seconds slower."
Mm-hmm.
I did that take, and it was exactly 0.7 seconds slower. It's like, you have a gift, Jamie. You need to be using this gift.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love entertaining people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it kind of breaks up the monotony a little bit. Tonight I'm going to be at the Route 20 from 7 to 9. That's any Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I've been doing, I've asked over 80,000 questions so far. Since doing that.
Wow. Why do people like trivia? What is it the fact that they're just like, it's remembering something and being able to remember something, or do they ever share that with you as to why they enjoy coming out to do
that? They haven't shared that aspect of it, but I'm pretty sure that has a part to do with it. What I really feel is when I'm connecting to them,
mm-hmm.
I'm making them laugh outside of just questions.
Yeah.
I have some really funny things throughout my show that I do that everyone participates in that.
Mm-hmm.
And, they really reinstill the fact that I'm doing something outside of just asking them questions.
Right.
And they especially know when someone else has to substitute for me and they're like, I see them the next week and they're like, yeah, don't ever leave again. And I'm not trying to have a huge ego over this either. Okay. I really don't.
Yeah.
But, The water has arrived.
The water has arrived. Yeah, that's good. That's good. No, I thought I was helping my son. He's doing a weekend thing, and so on his chalkboard for this thing that he's doing, and we won't go into all those details, but he's doing like a little farm market thing on the weekends,
sure.
And he's got this product, and it says the product goes to 11. It's on there, and so as we're interacting with people coming up during the 4 hours that we were there, I kept count of how many people went, oh, good Spinal Tap reference, and how many people went 11.
Yeah.
What's 11? On one person I did go into, well, you know, it's like one more than 10.
Right.
It goes beyond 10. And they kind of looked at me and I went, okay, you're not getting that reference. So we'll let that one, go by the boards. But can you tell us about what another idea that you've had where you're taking the, I don't want to get into,
sure,
because I know if this is, gets beyond.
Yeah. Like, I don't want anybody stealing my ideas here. This is trademarked.
Right. So can we talk a little bit about it maybe?
Yeah. Why not? You know what? Cause even if you want to do the same thing as me, understand one thing. I can be, imitated, but I'll never be duplicated ever.
Yeah.
So what I'm planning right now with a couple guys is bringing trivia into assisted living.
Yeah.
It is definitely shown to help early signs of Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
The questions and the music would be all pertaining to those decades of when they were younger.
Yeah.
The company's name is going to be called Remember When.
Mm.
So don't try to steal that either. I've already talked to lawyers about this.
Good.
But no, to get farther out from that. So my mother died in a nursing home and there wasn't a lot of programming for those residents. And knowing that I can offer something, it's not even about the money. I mean, there'll be some part of it about the money, but what's really about it is to connect with a way older generation,
mm-hmm.
To offer them some sort of entertainment, because when they wake up, they're ready to go. Once it's 9 a.m., they're ready.
Yeah.
Let's do something, Jamie. Play some music. Ask me a question. Yes, that was Babe Ruth. Where's my points for that?
And the important thing there, the key thing you just said is 9 a.m.
Right.
Versus 9 p.m.
Correct.
When we're not do it at 9 p.m.
Yeah, because I get a little tired now because I've been waking up early. It's so important. I can imagine right now you can get so much done during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like at nighttime, then it's like just kind of watching YouTube and Netflix and, I'm not like doing something with myself. Now I'm in bed before 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And I'm up at 6:30.
Yeah.
And I don't even have anything that I really need to do, but I choose to do it. So I can already go to the gym, spend 2 hours there, and then it's still 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, wow.
Wow.
Imagine how productive I can be.
Who knew?
No, I didn't, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well,
I like it.
That's an interesting concept because anyone who has, I'll say unfortunately, dealt with, or a family member or friend has dealt with, with the reduction in their memory, most of the time the people you're interacting with can remember things out of the past like it was
It's amazing. Yesterday. It's amazing. There was somebody that couldn't even speak, and they put headphones on him with music from the 20s and 30s, and he knew every word.
Oh, my gosh.
And didn't even listen to that song for decades upon decades. And all of a sudden, he's smiling and singing along with the, like, every word. And you're just like, there's a power to music, and there's also a power to reach parts of our brain that it's like, how do I still know all that?
Right.
But we only use such little percentage of our brains.
Yeah.
And for them, who suffer from some of those things, to be able to tap into that, you know.
Yeah.
I remember in high school, and we were in the football game.
Yeah.
And, you know, just painting the entire picture. But it's like, well, so what'd you have for lunch? And they're like, I don't know. It was hot.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really, really privileged, and that idea is definitely coming into reality a lot sooner. I'm even going to be doing it as just a volunteer thing for a while, as I do some R&D, but most importantly, just to give back.
Yeah.
That's where I'm finding fulfillment right now in my life.
Yeah.
It's not about the instant gratification. It's not about just doing things for, you know, myself. It's about really offering what's inside of this shell of a body in the best way I can. And I feel great about that.
Yeah.
That's what I can go to bed at night and just go, you did so many things, Jamie, to people you don't even know, and you made their day today.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. Makes me feel so good.
Yeah.
So good.
So if you run into, or if you did run into a person, younger person who was thinking about, and not, we'll say Parkside, but let's say even beyond, you know, Parkside to a college university experience, what do you tell that person? What's some of the things that you would say, here's, you know, if they're kind of not sure if what they want to do maybe with their life, how do you give them a little bit of direction?
So the first thing is, you know, you got to play the game to beat the game. Now, every game has different sets of rules. They have things you can do, things you can't do. There's boundaries, but you need to respect all of it. And once you learn the game, then you should learn how to beat the game. So, for example, we pick any game, chess, all right? Well, that's a pretty complicated game, involves a lot of different thinking. But you just learn what you can do and what you can't do, and then you start mastering that craft. And so there's a lot of incoming students where, I don't know what my major is going to be. You know what? Me either. And that took a long time to finally pick that. But the biggest thing is, keep your grades as solid as possible during those first 2 years, because you're looking at a man that had to get 3.8 GPA after 3.8 after 3.8, only to have his cumulative jump the littlest bit because of how much I screwed off in the beginning. The next thing is, don't worry so much about these 100 level classes, though, that are just making you regurgitate information the way high school did, to understand that when you start getting more specialized into what you want to major and minor in, once you get to these 300 level classes, so even some 200 level, but especially the 300 level classes, now you're critically thinking. And that's something where it's like, you know, I wish in high school, besides just what they do, if they tap more into, hey, this is how you get good credit. Here's how you do your taxes.
Yeah.
Here's things where in the real world, you know, these are things that are very applicable to living in adulthood.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's programs, you know.
Today, and again, we're like, you know, it wasn't just today, a couple of weeks ago, Rick Harris was here on campus as executive in residence.
Oh.
And Rick Harris is a graduate of Parkside, I think he said 1985.
Wow.
And he's been involved with a number of companies, Abbott, Walgreens, his own company now, RJ Harris, I want to say limited, but I may have messed that up.
Either way.
But he was talking about, because he's in like career development and has been working in that area. And he was talking about just what you said, the play the game, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, but you tell somebody you have to know how to play the game or do this, and their response might be, what do you mean by that?
Right.
Like, we haven't, you know, you haven't learned, well, what does it mean to play the game, whether it's your image, your exposure, and he used PIE, performance, image, exposure.
Oh, okay.
But all those things factor into how well you do in different situations.
So this is something that even ties in my 20-year-old daughter right now. I've been telling her, you know, play the game to beat the game. And, yeah, what does that mean, Dad? Well, the people that are already doing it are great people to have around you. When you see certain aspects and skills and attributes amongst certain people that you want or that you desire, get out of that comfort zone of isolation and be around those people. Right. Ask a lot of questions.
Right, right.
You know, and because with my daughter, sometimes I get into this dad mode where I'm just like, well, here's the insight. This is what you need to do. This is what you should do.
Yeah.
And sometimes she just wants to just have me listen and not just get in that daddy mode. And now I've learned that the best way to influence her is just to walk my own walk and to show her this is how it can be done because I'm applying it to my own life.
Yeah.
And we can all play the game differently. But, you know, the quicker you learn certain things, because boy, did I find out the hard way with a lot of stuff, especially on this campus. But it's a part of your growth, right? And Rome wasn't built in a day. You can't just eat the elephant whole. These are all cliches.
One bite at a time with that elephant.
That's it. You know, just nibbles. Nibbles. Very small bites.
Sauteed and the Instant Pot. I don't know to do that. Jamie, one of the things that I always, when we do these shows, as I look over at the time on the board and see that we're done, I can't believe how fast the time went by.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And that always tells me that it's been fun. It's been a great
show.
That's
right.
We have been joined today by Jamie Freeman, 2003, graduate of UW Parkside, who prior to Dr. Becky Martinez being on campus on April 10th, was here generating awareness about her her visit to campus and her program, Be Woke, Building Bridges Toward Inclusiveness. And Jamie, we will have you back on Parkside today. Thank you.
Oh, John, thank you so much for having me, and for all you students, go Parkside. Wake up, people. It's time to wake up.